Well, hey there. Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. Welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories, presented by Kinetico Water Treatment Systems. Hey, my family uses Kinetico, and you should too. Also, Star Bank, the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Also, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And of course, our newest partner, the Minnesota Propane Association. Hey, thanks for being part of the Minnesota Bound family. Well, today's story, among other things, is about the night I got attacked by a flying squirrel. There aren't a lot of people in the world who can say that's happened to them, but it happened, and it was legit. And it all happened at a place called Golden Eagle Lodge, up on the Gunflint Trail in far north eastern Minnesota, up where weather gets cold and the snow falls. Home to a friend of mine by the name of Ruth Wagner. Ruth, what's going on?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me today. It's another frigid day in the Northland here, I guess, and I'm happy to be indoors talking to you right now.
You didn't know that I got attacked, did you?
I didn't. I was sitting here kind of chuckling to myself. I can only imagine how this may have gone down, and I am looking forward to hearing you tell this story.
So we'll get to that in a bit, but first, really, the real reason, you and your husband, Zach, own Golden Eagle Lodge, just this pristine remote wilderness lodge and resort up along the Gunflint Trail, buried in the woods. And you guys are the keepers of northern Minnesota's cross-country trails. And they're remote trails, right?
Yeah, we have 70 kilometers of trails. They were all built by my father-in-law and then the previous owners of Bearskin Lodge. They have been collaborating together for years on what we is a joint partnership between the two businesses, known to the public as the Central Gunflint Ski System. And like I said, we have 70 kilometers of ski trails, and then we both have networks of snowshoe trails. We have a ski-joring trail. Just lots of fun stuff to do up here in the winter. And that's what we're all about here, is skiing and grooming the perfect trails for people to come up and enjoy.
Yeah. Cross-country skiing is important to Minnesotans. It always has been. You know, down in the southern half of the state, especially around the Twin Cities, there are all kinds of trail systems in, you know, city parks, regional parks, state parks. But it's a different thing when you get up north. I mean, when you're talking 70 kilometers, that's a lot of territory to cover. You can get out on those trails. It's remote.
It is. And, you know, yesterday somebody called and they were looking for a cabin and I only had one left. And they said, well, if you're full, you know, am I going to just have tons of people out there with me when I'm skiing? And I said, no. I mean, I go out skiing and even if both resorts are full and we have all sorts of day skiers in, you know, you might pass one or two other people because there's just so much room to spread out. You know, nobody's skiing loops around a golf course. It's skiing through the forest. And the different terrains you can cover is just incredible. We have everything from beginner to advanced trails. And there's so many different kinds of forests, even just on the system that you can ski through, and so much to see.
Yeah, it gets cold this time of year, the snow squeaks under skis, and you go out and you hear nothing. I mean, literally nothing as you get out. I'm lying. Every once in a while, they'll hear a purring groomer coming down the trail, but there's just nothing out there. So you can go and get lost, and that's part of the reason we wanted to come see you guys and actually shoot a story for Minnesota Bound, the TV show. But more importantly, it was this little piece of tradition on the trails that you and your husband have brought back. And tell the story. You kind of found a treasure.
Yeah, so years ago, back when my in-laws were first had bought the resort from my husband's father's parents, so we're the third generation here now. They had built a light I'm sorry. They had built a lighted ski trail.
Yeah.
And apparently it was kind of fun because with you guys coming up to film and talking to some of our guests about that trail, we actually learned some things we didn't know about it yet either. So that was kind of fun for us. But they had built this lighted trail, and that was a big thing in the week on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. They'd walk around and they'd light these kerosene lanterns. I think at 4:30 in the afternoon, and then at 10 o'clock at night, they'd go around and they'd extinguish them all. And
Brother.
it was a really, really neat thing, but very labor intensive. And as time went on, and the business was built, they just didn't have time for it anymore. So they ended up putting in a electric system all around the trail and putting up Christmas lights. So that's how it's been for probably 20 years is just Christmas lights. And the nice thing about the Christmas lights, they're on a timer. They turn on at 4:30 every night, and then they would turn off at 10:30, and it was 7 nights a week as opposed to just being Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But this summer, I've always kind of known that these lanterns still existed, I guess. I didn't know where. Like any business up here, we have lots of locations with all sorts of hidden treasures.
Little stashes and caches.
Exactly. And I was cleaning out a shed this summer and I was just pulling all this junk out of there. And then all of a sudden I realized there's these like six huge boxes. I'm like, well, what in the world is in those? And I opened them up and here's these lanterns. And this idea had floated around before about electrifying the lanterns and getting them back out there. And when I saw them, I was like, this has to happen. This is so cool. So this, and especially this year, I felt it was important. We bought this new Piston Bully 100 trail groomer, which really elevates the skiing experience here. And then with all the changes that our long-term guests have seen, both because of the change of ownership last year when my husband and I bought, but also, of course, because of the undeniable effect that COVID has had on all of us, I thought, you know, this would be something really cool to bring back.
Yeah.
And just to kind of honor the legacy of the Bauman family and building this resort and this trail system and everything, excuse me, building this trail system and everything from the ground up. So I did it. I rewired them all. With my manager helped me do it. We spent a couple weeks in the shop wiring them all up, and we got them out on the trails right after Christmas. And the reception of them has been really, really fun to see.
It's unbelievable. And to clarify, you guys are not lighting all 70 kilometers of trail. You drive yourself batty trying to get that done. So you've
Yes,
got this
yes.
awesome few kilometers, just outside of camp, varied terrain. And as the sun sets and the ice crystals start to sparkle, the lights come on.
Yeah, exactly. It's a loop we call Wolf Point, and Bill, like you said, it's a nice loop. It's got some varied terrain, some hills, some nice sweeping hills. Nothing too extreme. Most people of any skill level can do it, and we'll have people go out there and they'll ski the loop. Sometimes they'll get out to the loop and they'll ski it 5 times, and then head back in for the night. The loop itself is just a little bit over 2 kilometers.
So we're out taking pictures a week ago at sunset, and it's just epic, right? There's zero wind. There's like flurries, like Lake Superior, lake effect flurries just trickling down through the woods, and it's just epic stuff. And here come these skiers by us. You can hear them coming from, 100 yards away because of that whistling, squeaking sound that the skis make in the cold snow. And this older woman comes by us, and on cue, she says, "My God, this just takes me back to the old days." And she was talking about the lanterns. You know, that's the impact these things and these experiences have on people.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, kind of a fun thing to add to that is when they left after their time here, when they were checking out, they said, you know, we had given up on night skiing a long time ago, and it sounds like they actually got out quite a few nights and skied just because it was so cool. They were saying, you know, it's the perfect amount of light. You ski from one lantern to the next, you don't have dark spots, and it's just they shimmer on the snow. And so they really enjoyed that experience more than just the one night.
And what does it look like when it's 32 below zero, like you guys are tackling right now?
You know, I wouldn't know because I don't go out of my house at night when those temperatures are here, unless I need to, you know, thaw a water line or some other unfortunate event like that.
Yep. Well, all right. So we're out shooting, and I have this little run-in. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, we need to pay just a couple of bills. You're listening to Ruth Wagner, proprietor of the Golden Eagle Lodge up on Minnesota's Gunflint Trail, and we are talking about remote cross-country skiing. You know, Kinetico is a big partner of ours. The Shirk family loves Kinetico water. It's no secret. You know, we live out in the country, and we have that ironclad well water. But we treat it all with Kinetico's whole home water treatment system. And we've also got Kinetico's K5 drinking system in the house. You know that white buildup you get around your faucets in the bathtub? We get none of that. Our dishes are clean, our laundry is clean, and my wife Katie loves what the Kinetico does for her hair and skin. And the boys, the Shirk boys, Brady and Bennett, always get their water bottles filled up from the K5 drinking system before they head out the door for hockey and soccer practices. It just doesn't get better than that. Call Kinetico. Do like the Shirks did and look forward to clean, safe water. We'd also like to thank our friends at the Department of Natural Resources.
I just want to thank another one of our sponsors, the Minnesota DNR. And as we know, Minnesota's wildlife management area are a vast array of lands across all of Minnesota. And there are approximately 1,400 wildlife management areas that are valued for wildlife in Minnesota's outdoor recreation opportunities. So, speaking of recreation, to find out more about Minnesota's wildlife management areas, you can go to mndnr.gov/WMAS.
Okay. Back to the story. My partner today is Ruth Wagner, owner of Golden Eagle Lodge up on Minnesota's Gunflint Trail, the kind of quintessential family resort on the pristine lake in the pristine woods, with the trails now lighted with the old kerosene lanterns that used to be in the woods out there decades ago. So, Ruth, we're out shooting and we hear the giggle of a kid shooting, documenting the story about the ski trail with the new lights. And I hear this kid giggling. And here comes this 5-year-old absolutely racing past us, and his parents are chasing him. And they finally stop and talk to us. And they are like the perfect guests for your lodge. I mean, they were just blown away by the trail system. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
What was their reaction to the trails?
You know, I actually never personally talked to them after that. I know that some of my staff told me, though, that they just had a wonderful time and they were so surprised by the quality of skiing that we have up here. That's always something we've kind of had to fight to overcome, this idea that the Gunflint Trail has these, you know, subpar ski trails or something like this. We don't have metro level grooming and skiing. And I mean, we absolutely do, you know? And so people come up here and they see this experience, the grooming of the same quality that you'd see in the metro, but in this just magical environment, and people are blown away by that.
Yeah, Grand Bluffs, you know, crystal clear lakes, of course, covered by ice, the white pines, you know, the birch trees, the poplars. It's just epic. So it's after dark. I don't know. It's 7 o'clock at night, something like that. And we stop them to ask a couple of questions for the TV show. So we've got the camera set up. Because of COVID, we're not, you know, interacting. We're kind of keeping our distance. We've got a special microphone on a pole. And we start talking to this family on the trail, right by the lights. And all of a sudden, something flies between husband and wife, past me, past photographer Aaron with his camera. And I'm thinking, was that an owl? That had to be an owl. And I had my headlamp going, and I turned to the right, and here's a squirrel on this tree. And we all kind of gasp as it jumps off the tree back towards us and sails between us to another tree. And you kind of find yourself going, wait a second. Is that what I think it is? And I turn the other direction, and this thing flies right back. You know, you kind of duck out of the way because it's coming at you, and it goes to another tree and disappears into the woods. And we all, flying squirrels. I don't know that I would have ever imagined that they even existed in Minnesota. Have you ever seen one?
Yeah, actually, and I could probably be misquoted on this by some expert who will listen to this show, but I have heard that there are more flying squirrels than red squirrels in northern Minnesota. You know, whether or not that's true, I am not sure, but I will tell you they are plentiful up here. We actually, a lot of times we'll sit out at night in the summer and have a campfire, and there is this flying squirrel that has this route that it flies every night, like kind of over and around our fire pit. And we'll see it like every night. I've seen them at the feeders many times sitting there. I've actually gone outside and pet them before. They're really tame little creatures.
They're amazing. They don't fly. They don't flap wings. They just have this, you know, flap of skin between body and arms, and they soar. They glide.
Exactly. They sail. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just unbelievable because they just kind of jump off the tree and get their height, and they're fast too.
They're very fast. And I can't remember what the actual distance is that these squirrels can fly is, but it is an incredible distance that they can go.
You know the hill I'm talking about. When you hit your trail from the lodge and kind of head off to the left, and there's a big kind of downhill slope there. We were at the bottom of that, and that squirrel kind of, it felt like it came right down that trail, down that hill. It was amazing to see. I did a little research. They're nocturnal, which means they're out and about at night, which is why most folks don't see them. But I wonder if that's your campfire squirrel, because he was awfully friendly.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't realize that they were out in the winter so much. I guess I've only seen them ever in the summer.
Well, there you go. That was our interaction. I saw my life flash before my eyes as he came at me. A great memory of Golden Eagle that I won't soon forget.
Now, the real question is, oh, go ahead.
No, what is the real question?
The real question is, did you get this little guy on camera?
So we actually haven't looked at the video yet, but I think there's probably a really good chance we did, because Aaron was kind of set up and had his light kit sort of set on these people. And so it was very easy to see when it came ripping by, although it caught us off guard. You will have that clip of video if it exists. So
I look forward to it.
All right. Before we get back to the story of the trails, we need to pay just a few more bills. You're listening to the Minnesota Bound podcast. I'm Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. First, I want to welcome our newest partner to the podcast, the Minnesota Propane Association.
Hey, I'm Laura Shera, and did you know, according to the Environmental Protection Agency Energy Star program, that propane is almost 3 times more efficient than grid electricity? We all care about our planet, so let's use energy efficiently to reduce our environmental footprint. You can heat your homes, your water, your cabins, your businesses with propane. The right energy right now. Propane, clean American energy. For more information, go to propane.com.
Also, a big thank you to our longtime partners at Star Bank.
Hi there, Ron Shera here for Star Bank. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone. Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net.
Okay, time to get back on the trail with Ruth Wagner, owner of Golden Eagle Lodge, up along Minnesota's Gunflint Trail. I have always been mesmerized by where you live. I'm not talking about your house, but like the place you live, the place you exist. You know, all kinds of people drive up from wherever, the Twin Cities, Minnesota, all over the country, actually all over the world, to tour the North Shore of Minnesota. It's a little bit like the Pacific Coastal Highway. And you get to this little cool, hip town, Grand Marais, and there's something called the Gunflint Trail that just cuts north into Minnesota's most remote section. And there are entry points into the Boundary Waters. There are family-run resorts, cross-country trails, more lakes than you can count, all that stuff. But you guys have this community. Like the Gunflint Trail is its own town almost.
It is. And there's actually almost two towns, or three. We have the central Gunflint area, and then the Gunflint Lake area, and the upper Gunflint area. And it is a very tight-knit community up here. You know, when we, in April, and well, even just in the winter in general, the population, you know, dips to, I don't know, a couple hundred people maybe on the trail total who are year-round residents.
Yeah.
So it is definitely a community up here.
The moose outnumber the people almost.
Yeah, probably actually.
And I'm always intrigued, right? When we talk about the trail, it's a two-lane asphalt road that is, I don't know how long, 55 miles, something like that?
57.
57, and you get to the end. It's kind of funny. You're driving one direction, and there's this little curve, and you kind of go around the curve, and all of a sudden you realize you're going the opposite direction. Like, the road just ends.
Yep. Does a little loop and turns back around.
And you head back towards Grand Marais. And there's always been an interesting fact about where you guys are. Let's see if you know it. If you were to get on cross-country skis from your lodge and head towards the North Pole, how many roads would you have to cross to get to the North Pole?
I have no idea about this one.
Any guesses?
Three.
Oh, you're so close. You are so close. Two. The two Trans-Canada highways, right? So as soon as you cross into Canada, whatever it is, I'll probably get the numbers wrong. I think it's 11 and 14. One goes right along the border, and then the next one kind of cuts through at Dryden. That's literally it.
Interesting. And I just spent a couple hours watching a YouTube video on that kind of that area along the border there, and the railway there, the ultimately failed railway.
Yes, right.
And that ended at La Blaine on Gunflint Lake. So I know exactly what roads you're talking about, thanks to that little YouTube video I was watching.
There just isn't much. Paul Shirky always talks about that he could take his sled dogs, you know, from the Ely side, and there are two roads. There's just not much there. And that is part of, I think, the magic of where you guys live, right? You hear so much about the world being overpopulated and there are people everywhere, but you guys are still out there. And I'm guessing you live there by design.
Absolutely. People always ask me, I mean, originally I'm from the cities, Hudson, Wisconsin, and I grew up dairy farming, and people always ask me, you know, what do I love most about living here in particular? I do miss the cows. I will say that. But I love that this is all federal land and the whole world is your playground up here. You know, we spend a lot of time in the summer and fall foraging for, you know, wild berries, wild rice, you know, whatever. And you can do that all because it's all federal land up here. And there's so much history to the place too. You know, there's just so much to do up here, being all public land, you know, whether it be in the woods, on the water. And there's so much history that's still evident from the logging past, the mining past, and all of that. And I love having our own little part in that history of the area.
Yeah, and honestly, right, those lanterns are part of that. You know, they're not Absolutely. As old as some of the history, but they tell the story of what once was. And there's magic in that.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Maybe it sounds too thick, but I'm in the business of telling stories, and something as simple as your dozens and dozens of lanterns out on a trail through the bush is just special.
I certainly think it is. It's a special experience even just grooming that trail in the daytime and seeing those lanterns, because they're so cool. I mean, they're beautiful. And so whether or not they're lighted, they always kind of make me smile.
Do you feel like people are starting to hear about the lanterns and the trail and come, or is it not quite there yet?
I think the lanterns have maybe in some ways been a little bit overshadowed by our purchase of a new trail groomer. I mean, that's been kind of the talk of the town, yes. Because that was a pretty big deal. But when people have gotten here, they've certainly enjoyed that lighted trail. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback on it.
All right, let's talk about this groomer real quick before we end this episode, because it is kind of a big deal. It is legit capital L. This isn't like a little John Deere tractor with some attachment that you pull down the trail. This thing is a monster.
It is a monster, but it never gets old using it. It just doesn't. When we got it here, I realized that I had measured our garage door every way to make sure that it would fit in except for vertically. And oops. I had a moment of panic because I realized just how big it was compared to the other one. Luckily, it did fit in the door, though. I have about an inch to spare on either side of the stinger bar on the back.
Came from Germany.
Yep, it came from Germany. We were really lucky it got on land here before all the COVID stuff happened this spring, and we got it delivered in October. So it's a Piston Bully 100, so it's quieter, it's more powerful, and it's a lot more eco-friendly than the other groomers, just for a first starting list of positives to it. Mm-hmm. But we're able to continually till with this one, which means that no matter the conditions, we're pretty much able to get a really nice track set in addition to just a perfect corduroy on the skate deck. And with that continuous tilling and breaking the snow crystals more, the trails hold up a lot better to both environmental and mechanical abuse. So both skiing, temperatures, etc. And we're just able to go out in so many more conditions. You know, we don't need fresh snow to groom anymore. If the trails have gotten used or if they're getting a little icy from the sun, hop in and go. And then you can adjust the tiller depth and dig up as much as you need to and break it up and get your new track set down. So that's been really an awesome thing for being able to, you know, if someone's here for a week, they're not going to have perfect skiing one or two days. We can pretty much guarantee that they should have really good conditions all week.
I do feel like I owe you an apology. Because we had the camera pointed at you and Zach, and then photojournalist Aaron says, "Hey, what do you call this thing? Does it have a nickname? And do you remember what you said?"
I said, "I like to call it the Eagle," and Zach just cringed.
He looked at you and then he scowled at us and he just kind of like walked away in disgust. So I think you need an eagle painted on the side of that thing. Even if it's a small one.
You know, I think so. He's not into naming things, but it's just so pretty when you pull it out of the shop and you put the side finishing flaps down and you just roll out with it. It feels like you're just flying across the trails. And I think the Eagle is a fitting name.
Giant black treads. I'm colorblind, but it's orange, right? Or red?
It's red. Yes.
Okay. It's red. It's got the flashing light, you know, the attachment on the black, like you said, it lays out perfect corduroy trail for people who like to skate ski. There are two tracks for people who are into traditional skiing, and we just watch you hop in that thing and giggle like a little schoolgirl and just drive off into the woods.
Pretty much. It never gets old. I have to stop all the time just to get out and take a picture because I still sometimes cannot believe, you know, just how perfect that trail is. It's laying all the time. And, you know, we had a Piston Bully 130 before, and back in the day, that thing would have been absolutely state of the art, but that was 1985. You know, look at where cars have come in 35 years, right. Computers, anything. Right. And that's just the difference between that one and this one.
Well, we appreciate you letting us come up and share the stories of the lantern and the lights of the Northwoods night. For people who might be a little too timid to get up north, watch for the story on Minnesota Bound. It's going to be a doozy. In the meantime, say hi to Zach for me and just subtly suggest a small painted tattoo on the groomer. Just a little eagle. I don't care if it's a flying squirrel.
Now there's a thought.
That's something. Ruth, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Bill.
The stories are awesome. The Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories, they never get old. A big thank you to all the sponsors that make this podcast happen each week. Of course, Connecticut Water Treatment Systems, clean, safe, great tasting water. Our newest partner, the Minnesota Propane Association. Also, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And of course, our good friends at Star Bank, the bank we use at MinnesotaBound.com. Thanks for listening today. Get up to Golden Eagle Lodge, check out the lighted trails, and I'll talk to you next week. Oh, and don't forget, in the meantime, don't forget to introduce a kid to the great outdoors.